Before I came to the Sulpicians, I spent 11 years in parish ministry. And now, a couple of years removed from that, I've had time to reflect back on those 11 years. And it occurred to me recently that there's a whole group of individuals in each of the parishes that I served in, and I think all of the priests here could identify, that there's a group of what I like to call the holy women of the parish. And they're really, in a certain sense, they form the backbone and core of the parish. They're the ones who, if you're sick, they'll make you chicken soup. If your mom's visiting from out of town but you're swamped with work, they'll pick her up from the airport and take her out to dinner. They're the persons who are always around at the parish socials. They do a lot of the yeoman's work, a lot of the thankless jobs. And one of the first holy women of the parish that I ever encountered was a woman named Cecilia Tiemann. Cecilia Tiemann, the name doesn't really reflect it, is actually Filipino. This adds an entirely different dimension to this story. I can speak from personal experience. Cecilia Tiemann was a CIA chemist for years and had to take early retirement because of damage done to her lungs as a result of her work in the CIA labs. And Cecilia Tiemann's charism, and I use that word very liberally here, was she was chief priest protector in the parish. And she would make sure that people who didn't need to get too close to Father didn't. And I remember my third or fourth week as a priest, she came into my office at about 9:15 in the morning, and she said, "Father, do you have an appointment?" And I said, "Yes." "Is it with a girl?" And I said, "I think so. Her name's Deborah." She says, "Stay right here. I'll be right back." So my door's open, and Cecilia goes down the hall, and I can hear her talking to this young woman in the lobby. She says, "Are you Deborah?" And she says, "Yes. Stay right here. I'll be right back." So she comes into my office and closes the door. She says, "Father, I gotta warn you. Be careful of this woman. I see how she looks at you. Maybe she's the devil." True story. Now, while we find humor in Cecilia's take on that young woman, trust me, she was not the devil, there is a greater lesson to be culled from this, and it's taken from the last few verses of today's gospel. Remember what our Lord says, "The man from whom the unclean spirit went out of swept his house clean and put it in good order." One might expect that the evil spirit, upon returning to that man, which happens, seeing that his house is in order, would go and look for easier prey. But in fact, the gospel tells us very starkly, the exact opposite happens. The unclean spirit returns with vengeance. Scripture says, bringing with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there, making the last condition of the man worse than the first. I don't know about you, but that scares me. And it should scare each of us. In the world of formation, it's very easy for us to overlook a very important dimension that this passage brings to mind, and that we confront here on a daily basis, whether we realize it or not. It's called spiritual warfare or spiritual combat. But let's not delude ourselves. The evil one is very, very interested in derailing our work and your vocations. He knows what we're up to here, and he will harness every possible resource imaginable to ensure that we fail. Spiritual warfare is real. The battle is ongoing. Granted, it's not the only obstacle that we face in bearing fruit for the kingdom, but it is a very crucial one, and something that deserves attention in our prayer, our reflection, and may I even add, perhaps, in our conversations with our spiritual directors. The first reading provides us with the ascetical approach to prepare ourselves to engage in spiritual combat. The prophet Joel commends us to fasting and prayer. words our Lord himself would repeat to his own disciples when they were baffled about certain evil spirits that they themselves could not drive out. In our ministry, I can promise you, we have to be aware of this dimension of struggle. To simply reduce spiritual combat or spiritual warfare to exorcisms, which, by the way, are rare, or just to psychological conditions, which are probably more common, but to reduce them to just one of those two things really misses the point about the pernicious nature of this obstacle to human flourishing and virtue for so many of our people. We have to avoid extremes, I would say, taking the position that everything's the devil, on the one hand, and then the opposite position, which is taking the position that nothing involves the evil one. The truth, as it often presents itself, is probably somewhere in between. It's interesting to note that for the better part of Lent 2014, a significant amount of Pope Francis's addresses and talks and homilies were precisely about this topic, spiritual combat, spiritual warfare. He talks about it in the terms I have just described. So perhaps taking a cue from His Holiness, we should be well attuned to it as well. Finally, perhaps I can commend each of us to pray for a sensitivity and a pastoral awareness about this reality in our world, and that we have the spiritual courage to engage in this combat armed with prayer, with fasting, and certainly in this month of the Rosary, that great sacramental, to enable Jesus to help each of us to help him save souls.